This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. You can call them the Great Eight. WHL will be represented in Canadian colors at the World Juniors. We'll have more on that in a moment. Hey, quite the story for the Kelowna Rockets while in Strathmore, Alberta. A couple of Rockets stepping up in a life-saving situation. We'll have the story. In the competitive East Division, the Saskatoon Blades and Brandon Wheat Kings have been going with the flow. Both are streaking heading into the Christmas break. We'll hear from coaches Brennan Sonny of the Blades and head coach GM Marty Murray of the Brandon Wheat Kings. And Prince George Cougar rookie goaltender Josh Ravensbergen has been quite the story. Six shutouts to tie the rookie record. We're only halfway through the season. More with a 17-year-old later in the show. First up. Eight Western Hockey League players have been selected to represent Canada at the 2024 IIHF World Junior Championship in Sweden. Five WHL clubs represented on the current roster. Moose Jaw Warriors, Saskatoon Blades, and Wenatchee Wild boast two players each, while the Seattle Thunderbirds and Brandon Wheat Kings are also represented. Those players include Moose Jaw Warriors defenseman Denton Matejchuk, Warriors forward Braden Yeager, Wenatchee Wild forwards Matthew Savoy and Connor Geeky, Saskatoon Blades forward Fraser Minton and defenseman Tanner Molendijk, along with Nate Danielson of the Brandon Wheat Kings and Scott Ratzlaff of the Seattle Thunderbirds. All eight WHL players will be competing in their first IIHF World Junior Hockey Championship. Congratulations.
This is the WHL This Week, presented by the Western Hockey League.
Well, the Kelowna Rockets stopped in Strathmore, Alberta on their way to the East Division, and two players found themselves in a life-or-death situation. Voice of the Rockets, Regan Bartel, has more.
I don't know if you want to say that Ty Hurley played the role of hero, but a bit of a scary incident that happened at the hotel the Rockets were staying at in Strathmore, Alberta. That would have been Thursday night. Ty, take me through it. I wasn't there, but you're poolside, and what happens?
So this guy's kind of acting strangely in the pool and clearly not acting himself. I don't know whether he was intoxicated or what was the case, but he's kind of messing around in the pool, like staying under the water for long periods of time and then popping up and then rolling around, and then this one guy comes over and rips him out of the pool, and then the guy jumps right back in, and then so that guy who pulled him out just leaves, and then the front desk lady comes over and is like talking to him, whatever. So I see him from, I'm outside in the lobby watching this. Then, you know, I'm like, it's just the front desk lady and him. She's trying to like talk to him and he's just not cooperating. So I'm like, all right, I'll just go sit by the hot tub and kind of see what's going on here and see if she needs any help or whatever. So anyway, this guy ends up going further out into the pool. Actually, like, submerges himself in the water for probably over 30 seconds or whatever. I'm like, oh shoot, like, we got to get him out of the water. Like, he's trying to drown himself. And that's where I think he was trying to, like, drown himself. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to go in, but I ripped off my shirt, and I was able to lean over the edge of the pool and pull him out. So I brought him in and then pulled him right out and then flipped him on his back. Yeah, he wasn't breathing at all. Yeah, not breathing at all. So I'm like, I've taken a life-saving course or whatever. I know the steps or whatever. So, like, I check his airway and check his whatever pulse. He's not breathing. So I just go right into compressions, just right between the nipples. You go right and you do 30 compressions, then usually two breaths. I happen to just get to probably 15 compressions, and I was just waiting to see it, like, looking at him doing the compressions, and then he kind of went and, like, started breathing, and then he's still completely he's unconscious. So we got some towels, flipped him on his side, and he was like, his hands were blue, like he was barely alive. So then at that point, there was a bunch of people at that point, so someone called the ambulance, and then they came and ended up taking him away. So
you have taken a life-saving course. Why did you take that? When did you take it? How old were you, and why did you do it?
It was probably four or five years ago. I took it because I thought it'd be a cool, like, first job, and it's a pretty high-paying job, being a lifeguard. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd take the courses that lead up to being a lifeguard, and I ended up not getting the last one or whatever, but I still remember, like, the basic steps of it, and it's pretty simple, so it was able to come in handy.
Were you scared at all? I mean, it's a situation where you see a guy in distress. It's got to be, I don't know if there's anxiety or maybe just adrenaline kicks in.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you don't see that every day, that kind of stuff. It only happens once in a blue moon. But yeah, like, it was just kind of like, we were kind of not sure what was going on. And then it's like, oh shoot, like he's actually like under the water for like 30, over 45 seconds ish. And he's not, like, he might be trying to drown himself. So it's like, oh, like, we got to get involved here and get him out of the water. He's not just messing around anymore.
Teammate Ethan Newtons was an eyewitness to what went on. We spoke to him about Ty Hurley jumping into action.
We were just kind of watching him. There's some other guy in there with him, but I'm not sure if they knew each other. But he had some clothes on, and he was just kind of floating around in the pool, you know. Looked like he was, like, going under, holding his breath for, like, 20 seconds at a time, coming up. But he had trouble, like, holding himself up. And so he went under for a little bit, you know, a little longer than expected. So Hurley went in there. He was coming in there, and I was just behind him, and he took off his shirt, and he reached in, tried and grabbed the guy by shirt, pulled him up. So we got him out of the water, and Hurl started doing some compressions there. It was pretty scary. He came out of the water. He wasn't breathing. I think it was for like 45 seconds he was under the water. So pulled him out, did some compressions. He wasn't breathing. His feet and hands started turning blue. He was kind of like just struggling a little bit.
Were you pretty impressed by how he jumped into action the way he did?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not easy doing that, and, you know, it's pretty courageous, so applause to him.
So do you consider yourself a hero in this situation? I mean, from an outsider, it looks that way, but how do you evaluate it?
I don't know. I feel like I'm doing what anyone would have done, and I mean, not everyone knows how to do the compressions, I'm just happy that I was able to get him out of the water safely, and he's alive, as far as I know.
Well, all I can say is good job on you. Good on you in order to be there to help this individual out. I'm going to say Ty Hurley is the hero, and again, kudos to you. Good job.
Thank you.
From the drop of the puck to the Edschanoth Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
The Saskatoon Blades are on top of the East Division, the conference, and the WHL standings heading into the break. I spoke with head coach Brennan Sonny about their start to the season and aspirations.
We figured we'd be in the area. Going back to 3 years ago, we had four 16-year-olds. We really liked our 05 draft. A lot of those guys came in the next year as well. We liked our goalies last year. We had the two 18-year-olds, one of them being an all-star. We were returning a lot of our leading scorers. So we kind of pegged this year to be, you know, of the three, the best for sure.
All right. You've had limited time with Fraser, 5-6 games so far. Your impression so far?
Holy smokes. That's wild. He's incredible human, incredible hockey player, leader, committed. There's no weak spots there. It's pretty impressive. Like, no wonder he stayed up with the Leafs for as long as he did at that age. So very, very impressed.
How have you used him? I noticed you had him in a third line role. He's worked his way up a little bit, but how have you used him?
Well, for the start of the season, we really played a lot with Lizzo Wonger and Sidorov. Wanted to get a little depth, you know, multi-threats for scoring. So we put Lizzo, Waterroot, and Minton together, and then mostly Armstrong, Sidorov, and Wong, just to spread it out a little bit, like Lizzo being a 40-goal guy, Sido being a goal-a-game guy. So we just tried to spread it out, but, you know, without knowing him super, super well, we were just kind of just seeing, like, that was the starting point, seeing where it goes. And we had limited viewings, like you said, so we'll see where it evolves, but don't want to burn him out either. I don't want to burn out any of our guys. We want to be a four-line team, so we'll see where it lands, but definitely power play and heavy minutes.
Now, whenever you're a good team, that usually means you miss players away at World Juniors. Can you sort of withstand the blow of a top defenseman and a top centerman here for 2 weeks?
Well, losing high-end players is never going to help your team, but at the same time, we're of the belief that it takes the entire team, which is, we are a fairly four-line rolling team. There will be times or maybe situations where we match, you know, like when you're playing Bedard or something like that, but in general, we try to roll four lines and we try to get everyone involved and everyone has a role, so we're going to do our best to hold the fort.
You mentioned Bedard, and that makes me think back to that first-round series he had with them last year. And I think that probably, you know, that playoff run might really help you this year, into the playoffs here. You look back at that series, how much do you think, you know, it's a factor as you guys move forward to your aspirations this season?
I think you just learn maturity. Like, you can do a lot of preparation for Game 7 moments in terms of how you act during the big moments of the season. But when you're actually in the moments and the real bullets are flying in Game 7s and playoff runs, I think you learn maturity, how to manage games, how to win games, how to lose games. And those are tough lessons, but they do help you grow and mature. So while we do try to teach the guys about handling the big moments, the actual lessons of it, like from last year, for example, they definitely stick with you. So I think they help you in just maturity in big moments.
You're on top of the conference on this side. Where do you see the pitfalls as far as teams over here? It's pretty good over here. There's probably 6-7 teams that think they're a second-round playoff team or more. So how do you shake down in this competitive conference this year?
I just think Winnipeg the last couple of years have been so good that they just ran away with it. But, you know, with them heading over to Wenatchee, this conference, our division in general, is extremely tight. Top to bottom, anyone can win on any given night. So, yeah, it's a grind of a season for sure when you're in a division like that. Like, there's no games where you just roll up and you're like, okay, here's 2 points, let's go. It's a battle every night. So I think that helps, but it's a challenge. Like, it helps make sure that you continue to focus every single day on your improvement as a team, but it is a challenge in that every single one feels like a playoff game, essentially.
Okay, Brandon, appreciate your insights in our pregame show. Have a great Christmas break, and good luck in that second half.
You too. Safe travels.
In Brandon, the Wheat Kings are gaining momentum. Head coach and GM Marty Murray.
Yeah, I think we're playing our best hockey this season so far, and started off with our last game on the road against Prince Albert. I thought we had a real solid effort. Then we've had three at home here and put together pretty good effort. So, you know, we're feeling pretty good right now, and it's just a matter of playing the game the right way, and we give ourselves a chance to win.
Not sure if you're nostalgic, but over on the other side tonight is Don Hay, and he coached you at the Natty 5 World Juniors. Got to think way back when. He had a lot of good things to say about you earlier today, but I don't know. What's the feeling seeing Don Hay behind the bench? Probably never thought you'd coach against him.
Right. You know, you look back over your career, and you know that was over 30 years ago, and even though you know it was only for a couple weeks, you looked at people that influenced you throughout your career, and Don was certainly one of those guys. It was a pleasure to play for him and don the Canadian jersey. It was a special time and something you'll never forget, and Don, somebody that's obviously very well respected in the hockey world, and somebody that I've always admired from afar.
And it's that time of year, right? Kind of those memories, those World Junior memories begin. You'll send Nate Danielson to the selection camp in Oakville, but this is always a special time. Does it bring back some memories for you of chasing gold over the Christmas holidays?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I had the privilege to play in two, and the first one was in Czech Republic, and we weren't rated to win. We were ranked, I think, 6th in the tournament, and found a way to scrap it out and get a gold medal. And the next year, when Don was our coach in Red Deer, we were heavily favored. So kind of two different kind of paths to get the gold, but both fond experiences. And it's about representing your country and the friendships you build, something that'll last forever.
Marty, this is a pretty coveted position, a general manager, head coach role in the WHL. You're still relatively young when you look at some of the guys around the league here. Let's talk about your hockey journey, which has landed you here with the Wheat Kings and a storied franchise.
Yeah, you know, it's full circle for me. I started here as a young 16-year-old, and as I mentioned about Don, Kelly McCrimmon's another guy that I've admired and appreciated everything he's done. He's built this organization up and to what it is today, and obviously a nice ear to chew on if if you have questions, and he's obviously very knowledgeable. So, it's great to be back. I was down south coaching for probably 12 years, and, the opportunity came back to Brandon, and again, full circle. And, a lot's changed in the last 30 years, but a lot stayed the same, too.
All right, well, pleasantries aside now, trade deadline is coming up, and you're the general manager, and we're about, like, a month away right now, and there's talk, but not a lot of action right now. Any indication of kind of what way you'll lean? We could see prices quite high, and, adding could be difficult, but selling could be, profitable.
Yeah, we're in an interesting spot. If you look at our conference, everything is so tight from, Saskatoon and Medicine Hat have kind of separated themselves a bit, but from, 3 to 10, it's super tight. So, we're feeling like we're moving in the right direction, and we'll continue to monitor group here as the January 10th date approaches to kind of see what we're feeling. But there's a lot of options, and we'll have to make some big decisions here in the next few weeks.
No doubt about that. Story around the league for sure. Quite the debut for a youngster yesterday, last night, here against Moose Jaw when Jackson Jacobson came out and not only got one, but got two in the third period. 14 years old, doesn't have a birthday here for a few days. That must have been exciting to see that firsthand.
Yeah, it was exciting. You never know what to expect when you put a young kid in, especially a player that young and still being 14 years old. But, I just felt that he was very comfortable throughout the game. And, with that became more and more opportunity. And for me, standing behind the bench, you're coaching to win the hockey game. And he was a guy that I felt could give us a chance. And he came out and delivered. And a pretty special night for he and his family. And being a Brandon boy growing up, watching the Wheat Kings from the time he could walk, to playing his first game, getting a couple goals, and being the first star.
In the corners and around the boards, the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
He's a rookie goaltender, but his numbers this season not indicative of that. Josh Ravensbergen is on his way to setting a new WHL record. The WHL's Cammy Koepke caught up with him.
How do you feel about how your season has gone so far this year?
Oh yeah, obviously it's been a lot of fun. Like, we have a really, really great team, and we've been doing really well lately. I think we've all bonded quite well, and we're playing really good hockey right now. So it's been a lot of fun.
What's been the biggest adjustment to the dub level for you?
Probably just how long the days are. Like, we're going to school, and then we go to the rink, and then call it like 3 or 4 hours at the rink, and then we don't really get home till like 2 to 4 usually. So just the long days, quite a bit different.
Coming in as a rookie, you have no idea how much you're going to be playing, what the expectations for the team is, but did you kind of have any goals for yourself coming into this season?
Not really, to be honest. Like, I just wanted to play as much as possible, and I keep on giving myself an opportunity and trying to earn games, and yeah, that's all I really wanted to do.
How would you describe your style of game?
Like, obviously I'm a bigger goaltender, which helps, and I feel like I can read the play pretty well, and that's probably my biggest strength. Like, I feel like I'm pretty athletic, so I'd say that's kind of my style.
Is there a goaltender that you try to emulate or maybe see a little bit of yourself in?
I like watching Jeremy Swayman on the Bruins. I feel like I just like watching him, his big movement, his style. I really like it.
Are you a Bruins fan?
Yeah, I'm a Bruins fan. So that's probably the reason why, too.
Are you from Vancouver?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Like, wild choice for you.
When I was younger, I hated the Canucks. I hated them. I did not want to be seen wearing anything with Canucks. Like, I despised them. It's funny. I don't know why. Like, looking back.
I mean, when it comes to the WHL, like, you don't get drafted. What was kind of your mindset after that when you kind of tried to figure out what your next step was?
I think, like, looking back, it was probably good for me that I didn't really get drafted, because I kind of opened my eyes to how much extra stuff you have to do in the summer if you want to get a lot better. Like, I kind of saw that that's kind of how you take your next step, is the summers, and that's how you can really give yourself the edge compared to everybody else.
So what kind of things did you do in the summer to, get up to that level?
I just lots of skates with other junior players, and obviously spending a lot of time working out and working like the right muscles and explosiveness and things that actually help for goalie position.
And how did the opportunity with the Cougars come about?
Is listed pretty much the day after the draft, I'm pretty sure. So I was like kind of in their system for a while. And then I was told that I had a really good chance of making the team after my year last year. And then I decided to sign with them and like kind of go, get myself a shot at making it. Even though I know it wasn't for sure, but I wanted to give myself a chance to make in like the best junior league there is. So that's why I chose to try and play for the Cougars.
They just kind of keep waiting for you to come back down to earth and look like a rookie goaltender, but it's just kind of not happening. Like, you're just staying on this tear. Like, is that something that's in the back of your mind?
Obviously, it's there, but I try not to think about it. I'm just trying to go just play every day. Just play how I'm able to play. It's kind of what I'm telling myself. Just go out there and enjoy it. See what happens.
What was your reaction to learning that you tied the WHL record for rookie shutouts?
Oh, I didn't know that till today. Isn't that just for the Cougars? It's sold. Oh, for rookies. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't know that till now. But yeah, it's cool. I don't really know how it's happened, honestly. Like, I had 5 in the last couple of years combined, but had a really good team in front of me, so that definitely helps a lot.
Do you have any future goals in the Dub and in hockey in general?
Just to go as far as I can with hockey. I just want to play it as long as I can. It's enjoyable. That's what I like doing. So just want to play as long as I can.
Hey, that's the show. Final one as we head into the Christmas break. Big thanks to Regan Bartel in Kelowna, Cammy Kepke at the WHL office. Happy holidays, everyone. WHL Radio Show back in the new year. I'm John Keane. Have a great holiday.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL broadcast partners and Bauer Hockey.